You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect. Last week of the Adonai series, and as I said before, you know, we kind of toned it down a little bit, simplified things a little bit, acousticized it a little bit, just to take a few weeks just to reflect on loving the Lord our God. And as I said before, the Hebrew word for Lord is Adonai. And so over these last few weeks of this month, the first week we looked at loving God with our heart, and we learned that loving God with our heart means loving Him in all that we do. That everything that we do, we should be loving God. And then 2 weeks ago we looked at how loving God with our soul means trusting Him with our eternity. And we talked about the importance that, you know, that our lives are just insignificant compared to all of eternity, and how we need to be focused on that. And then last week we looked at this idea of loving God with our minds means thinking about things that please Him, and how often we don't. How often we get caught up in things that don't please God, and in so many ways, and we chewed on that last week. So this week I want to finish up this series looking at a passage that at this point, you know, should be burned into your head in Mark chapter 12. And again, the context that Jesus is talking to these people, and a teacher of the law comes up to him and hears them debating, and he says to Jesus, says, of all the commandments, which is the most important out of everything? And we know about the Ten Commandments, right? We know that there's 10 of them, but if you took the time to look back through Exodus and Leviticus, there's tons more laws and rules and things that the Hebrews had to follow. And so this Jewish teacher of the law said to Jesus, you know, look, there's like hundreds of them. Which is the most important? And his response was, the most important one, answered Jesus, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And this week I want to wrap up looking at this idea of loving God with all of our strength. And the Greek word here for strength is really, it's not some sort of idea of think harder or just put your mind to it, or, you know, if you believe anything, it's possible, or some sort of, you know, infomercial where, you know, you imagine it and you'll get it. It actually means physical strength, physical power, physical effort. And so he's talking about here, when we love God with our strength, then we're loving God with our physical work, our physical effort, not just some sort of a mental kind of concept. And that's what this word means for strength. And so what I want you to get today is that loving God with our strength means pressing on even when we feel like giving up. Loving God with our strength means pressing on even when we feel like giving up. Even if you feel like, you know what, the band was here on Wednesday night, and we came in and recorded that segment with them Wednesday night. It wasn't live. I know you're shocked. But they could see their breath in here when they were rehearsing. It was that cold. And frankly, that is a great opportunity to give up and say, you know what, what's the point? And obviously we cheesed it up a little bit and had some fun. But you know, it's this idea of pressing on, even when we feel like giving up, saying, you know what, what's the point? What's leading worship all about? Why does it matter? You know, and we joked about Justin, of course, in the announcements. And do these things matter? Yeah, they do. And there's so much more than just those, obviously, that we need to just press on. We need to use our strength, even when we feel like giving up. We need to keep going. And this, you know, the last few weeks, as I said last week, you know, this has been a kick in the teeth for a lot of us. Myself, I say us. You know, that some of the things we've been talking about are hard. Some of these things are difficult. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of intentionality to make sure that we're thinking about things that please Him. It takes a lot of focusing not on this world and not thinking about what everybody else around us and what all the images, you know, everything that's telling us to do, but instead think about eternity. That's hard work. And we get tired. We feel like giving up. We feel like there is no point. We wear out. And I want you to get this week that, you know, with these last things that we've talked about and their hard work, this week I want it to be an encouragement that, look, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. But we need to press on. We need to keep doing what God has called us to do. So I want to look at a passage in Galatians, and I think it's in Galatians. Yeah, it's in Galatians. It's a good place. And it's in Galatians chapter 6, and if you have your Bible, you can open there, go to the YouVersion app, and tap on Galatians chapter 6 there. But I want to just take a few minutes with you today and look at this idea of pressing on. Because I don't know, you know, if you've had a chance in your prime groups, it's been cool. We've had some personal reflection guides at the end of our groups each week to kind of do on our own. And that time is, it's hard. You look at the stuff and I've encouraged you guys to be reading Crazy Love. And when we were at an event where Francis Chan was speaking, the guy said, you know, when you're done hearing Francis Chan speak, you're not even sure if you're a Christ follower anymore. And because it's hard. It's hard to do the things that Jesus has called us to do. And so I just want you to stick it out. Press on. Keep going. And this is what Paul writes to the church in Galatia. This is a letter that he wrote to them. And he's kind of wrapping up some concluding thoughts here with them about living for Jesus. And he says to them, he says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." So what he's saying here, he says, you know, this starts out and says, "Do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked." And like, what does that mean? Like, nay, nay, boo, boo, God, you're dumb. Like, that's obviously not what he's talking about. He's saying that, and the NLT says it this way. It says, "You cannot mock the justice of God." Basically, what he's saying is that what God says is going to come to be. Truth is always going to win. The way things are is the way things are. You can't hide, you know, you can't pull the wool over God's eyes. You can't slip one by and say, "Okay, God, I'm going to do things this way. I know you said to do it this way, but I'm going to do it this way, and it's going to work out the way I want it to." He's saying, no, you can't do that. Sorry. You know, as much as we want to try to do things and think, well, nobody's ever going to know, or this is never going to matter, or this is not that big of a deal, Paul is saying, you know what? No, it's sorry. It's not that way. God can't be mocked. What God says is going to happen. What God says we shouldn't do and it's going to cause problems for us, there's a reason God says not to do it, because it's going to cause problems for us. We can't get away from that. And so that's what he's talking about. And he goes on to this idea of reaping and sowing. Yeah, a lot of that. Of reaping and sowing. And obviously sowing means to plant seeds. And he says that if you are planting seeds, whatever you plant is what is going to grow. That's what reaping means. Whatever you harvest, whatever you bring in, is going to be based on what you plant. He says that if you are planting, a man or a woman, anybody that is planting to the flesh, to please their flesh, or the word there means our sinful nature, to do what we want to do. If we are doing things the way we want to do it, the result is going to be destruction. Because our way is not as good as God's way. Our way is never going to succeed. God always knows what is best for us. And I'd love for you to hear that now, because next month, I mean, we're talking about some heavy stuff. We're talking about some serious stuff, and God sets some standards there. And it's not because God wants to be just, you know, "Ha ha, I'm God, and you can't do anything you want." It's because God wants what's best for us. And so he says here, Paul is saying that if we spend our life, if we invest our time doing what we want to do, if we say, you know what, loving God with my heart, I don't really want to love God in everything. I love God in most things, but these few things here aren't going to really matter. Paul says, no, it is going to matter. Because those moments when you say, "I'm going to do what I want, I'm going to please my flesh, I'm going to go after my sin desire rather than what God wants," he says, "you're going to reap destruction." That it's going to cost you. It's going to hurt you. There's going to be consequences from it. And then he says, but if we sow, if we plant, if we are doing things to please the Spirit of God, then from the Spirit, we're going to reap eternal life. And that comes back to what we talked about week two. And I throw it out there, you know, mc3church.org. You can go on there and download or listen to it. I don't really care, but it's not like we're making money off of that or anything. But there are opportunities there just to kind of chew on some of these things. And that's what he says there. You know what? If you're focusing on what God wants and what his Spirit is telling you to do, and I'll tell you what, I'm just going to say this. I think it's true. I think it's true that probably in the last month, there has been something that God has said through me, God speaking to you, not me, that you are like, I really need to change that. I really need to fix that. I need to do that differently. But as soon as you feel that way, the Spirit of God is saying, I want you to do that. You're like, no, I'm going to do it my way. You kind of like push that aside. Well, it's not that big of a deal. I don't really have to do that. I don't have to go that far or that extreme. And I would say that right there, you are sowing to please the flesh. God is telling you to do something. You need to do it. Because when you do those things, you're going to reap harvest for eternal life. You're going to, the result is going to be something that's going to last. The result is going to be something that matters. And I say this to you because I do it all the time. I think, no, this time it's not going to make a difference. It's okay this time. I'm justified in this reason. But God's saying, no, his way is always the best way. His plan is always the best plan. And so he says, don't please the flesh. Don't go after what you want. It's hard. It's hard to do what God wants. It costs us. It costs us time. It may cost you money. I mean, there's some people in this room that can amen because they're doing things that God wants them to do, and it's costing them financially. And I say, press on. Keep doing it. Keep doing what God is calling you to do. It's hard, but we need to realize that when we are investing, when we are sowing, when we are planting seeds that are based on the flesh and our desires, all we're going to get is destruction. And it doesn't mean you're going to go to hell. But it's just saying that there's going to be consequences. There's going to be a cost. And here's the deal, right? When you keep this planting and sowing idea in mind, a lot of us, we spend our days planting crabgrass and dandelion seeds. And then when roses don't grow up, we blame God. Well, God, why did this happen? Why don't you love me? Because God's saying, because I said to do it this way and you did it that way. Why did this happen? Why did this happen to my marriage? Why did this happen to my job? Why did these things happen? And I'm not saying that if you do everything God wants, everything's going to be perfect, because Jesus said you're going to have trouble. But a lot of times our problems are directly related to the fact that we choose to disobey God. And so we plant crabgrass and we're like, a little bit more, a little bit more. And then we're waiting for this beautiful blossom to come up and it doesn't. And then we say, God, what's your problem? And God says, look, don't be deceived. You're not going to mock me. If you plant weeds, you're going to grow weeds. If you plant flowers, you're going to grow flowers. If we are investing our time and putting our effort and our work into the flesh and what makes us happy, makes us comfortable, even though it's easier, it's worth it. And then he goes on. He continues this idea of reaping and sowing. He says, let us not become weary in doing good. And the word become weary means to basically give in. To give in to trouble, to lose heart, to despair, to say, you know what? It's not worth it. I'm done. I quit. I'm done, God. This is too hard. I can't go on this way. It is strapping me financially. It is hurting me mentally and emotionally. He says, don't become weary. Don't become weary. I mean, there's so many things. There are so many things that God has called us to do that are hard, that are challenging, that are difficult, that are not easy. And he says, don't despair. Don't give up heart. And dude, there are times, my job was way easier as a youth pastor. It was way easier. I always had someone else to blame. You know, there was always someone else to be like, well, that's their problem, not mine. And it's hard. it's hard. I mean, it's wearing. You people have issues. I've got issues. That makes things hard. And there's times, I mean, Kendra has this phrase that we often use, like, you know, in light of eternity, what does it matter? The unfortunate part about my job is that actually most things matter in the light of eternity. And that makes it hard. And it's easy to give in and despair and say, dude, I wish I worked at Lowe's. I wish I worked at Lowe's because then when my shift was over, I'd go home. I'm done. You know what? The hardest thing someone might call and say, hey, can you tell me where the nails are? Oh, they're back in the stock room on shelf 3. Cool. Have a good night. I'm going to bed. But Paul says, let's not become weary. Let's not lose heart. And he says, in doing good. And this doesn't mean just doing nice things for people. It means in doing what is right. It means to be virtuous, to act well, to do the things that God has called us to do. And it's not just based on ministry and serving in the church. He's talking about, like, when you feel like you should respond in anger, but you know God wants you to respond to your spouse in love, then you need to do what is right, even though it's easier to get angry. When you know that there is something that you need to give up on your schedule for the sake of your family, even though it's easier to not do it, he says, don't despair. Do the right thing. Do the good. Do the virtuous thing. Do the right thing. When we start thinking about our lives in light of eternity and the lives of those around us in light of eternity and say, is it worth it? I've been praying for this person for years. They don't even give a lick about God. When is God going to change their life around? Don't give up. Don't become weary in doing the right thing. Just don't give up. Don't give up. Just keep going. And then he goes on and he says, and here's a kind of a scary phrase. It's kind of an awkward phrase for us. Because I'm an American. I use a microwave. Okay, let me just tell you something. This will probably come up later because I love it as an illustration. But have you taken the time to look at, say, a microwave burrito? Okay? Microwave burrito, the ones we get, 1:30 if they're frozen, 45 seconds if they're thawed. Look at the conventional oven directions. For a frozen burrito that's this big, okay, it takes 27 minutes after the oven is preheated. What the heck? I would never wait 27 minutes for that. Because we're in a culture that says, I want it now. I want it now. I want it right away. I want this to happen now. That's the way it should be, right? I want video on demand. Who cares about TV? I got Netflix. I can pick what I want. And if I have to wait for it to load, I mean, it's so funny, the nomenclature that our kids have. My little 4-year-old knows what loading means. And he actually says that about the microwave. He's like, look at the food, it's still cooking. He's like, oh, still loading. And like, I didn't know what loading meant, but everything is loading. It takes time to load. And then if they have to wait too long for a movie to load or a game to load, there must be something wrong because we have to wait. I mean, it's usually been 15 seconds. It usually takes 7 seconds for it to load. We want things now. And here's the thing. Here's an awkward thing for us as Americans, us as a modern culture. He says, at the proper time. The proper time doesn't mean when we want it. Understand that. It doesn't mean when we expect it. It doesn't mean when we demand it. It doesn't mean when God, we say, God, now is the time. The word proper means when it is just right, when it is convenient, when it is just the right timing. And the cool thing about this word is that it means one's own. So it's not like just when things generally seem right, but when the time is right for you, when it is exactly what God wants for you, that is when you will reap the harvest. That doesn't mean next week. That doesn't mean 10 minutes from now. It might not mean 10 years from now. But at the proper time, when God sees that it is right for you, when it's right for Jason, for Brian, for Danae, for Carrie, when the time is right, that is the moment when it is right for you that God is going to provide the harvest. And this word time, you know, again, it's interesting. It's not the typical word. The typical word for time in the New Testament is chronos, where we get chronology and all these words. Chronos, but it's a different word. It doesn't mean like time on a clock. It just means like a season, a moment of time. Give me one. You know, Whitney Houston singing, it's beautiful. But this idea of one moment in time, it's when it's just right. Now you're all singing it. Yeah, I'm singing it. but that's what he's saying. He's saying, you know, it's not when the clock strikes 12. It's not exactly when we demand it. He says, when the time is right, God is going to provide a harvest if we do not give up. And that word give up is it coming back to this idea of strength, meaning physical. It means collapse in weariness. It means to be done. Just, I'm done. And there are so many times, I don't know how you feel, but there's so many times in my life when, and I'm not just talking about pastoring a church, but just with things like, God, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. This is hard. I don't want to have to live this way. I want to live my way. I don't want to have to follow you when it comes to relating to my wife, to loving my wife. I don't want to have to follow you when it comes to those annoying people that do stupid things at Walmart. It's great that we only have like one place that everybody goes. I don't have to worry about like, where do people go? Oh, Walmart. I want to give up. There's things that I want to do, and it's hard. And here's the thing. He talks about this idea of reaping and sowing, planting and harvesting. And I shared this with you last year when we were talking about raising our kids and the investment. But, you know, we planted a garden this year. And in this garden, I mean, there were a lot of things that we did. We built a wall for this raised bed garden, and then we paid money for them to deliver poop. Like, that's just blows my mind, but hey, here's $80. Thank you for giving us poop. They delivered poop. We spread it out in our garden, and then we got mulch and put mulch over it, and then we planted these tomato plants that were little, and we built this big trellis, which is awesome, and this whole thing, and then every day, I'd have to go out and water it over and over and over again every day. And the problem with a raised bed garden like we have is that it evaporates more, so you have to water it more than normal. And then the weeds would start popping up, and you have to pull the weeds. And we were doing this for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then eventually, these little tomato plants grew. And they grew and they grew, and then suddenly started grabbing on to this awesome trellis that I made because it's awesome. And they were grabbing on, and then the little buds started to form. And we're still weeding, we're still watering, we're still making sure that, you know, the trash that blew in from the neighborhood is out of that. You know, we're keeping the bunnies away. And eventually, there was a tomato, and then another tomato. And dude, I don't care what you say, but there is nothing like a homegrown tomato. They are incredible. Like, I could just eat them with a knife and fork. They're so good. They're so tasty. And that's worth all the work. If what we got at the end there was just this, I don't know, like nasty, like celery, something like that, Brussels sprouts, like, dude, that's part of the sin nature of the world. The curse on the ground is Brussels sprouts. But it's worth the work because of the result. And I need you to understand that in your lives and our lives, as we serve God, as we do the things that he has called us to do. I didn't say to do the things because they're easy, because they're comfortable, because they're convenient, because I can check that off my list. Oh, you know, that's easy. I can do that. I'm talking about the hard stuff that God has called us to do. He says, don't become weary. Don't give up. Don't give up. When it means loving God in everything, loving him in everything that we do, keep doing it. Keep letting God into your lives. Because I know that it's easy to love God in church, right? We gather together, we worship, we love God. It's okay, it's easy. But there's a lot of areas in our lives where it's not so easy to love God. I'm saying let him in. Let him, you know, love God in those areas. And it's hard. But keep doing it. When we think about eternity and then we think about our lives and what we want now and our own demands and our own comfort and our own needs and our own homes and stuff and things and those things when you die are still going to be here. My grandmother passed away a few years ago. She had stuff stored. Like she had more Christmas stuff than she had a house. Like, I don't understand what she did with this stuff. She was all into decorating. But then we were all like, okay, great. Now we've got to get all this Christmas stuff out. We need to get some cool Santa Clauses out of it and stuff. But all that to say, like, all of her stuff was still here. Her whole Christmas collection did not go with her. And sometimes it's hard to think and invest in eternity and not now, loving God with our soul. But I say, don't give up. Keep doing it at the right time. It's going to be worth it. And when God determines that, and again, I don't know, you could be this close. You could be right on the edge of God doing something incredible in your life, but you quit. You give up. Loving God with our mind means thinking about things that please Him. And we talked last week, there's tons of areas where we need to focus on loving God with our mind. And that's hard. Some of you need to get rid of some of the things you're watching. Well, it's not that big of a deal. Everything. You're going to reap what you sow. Some of you need to make some decisions about relationships that you have. Not being mean, but just maybe cutting back on how much influence they have in your lives. Because you're going to reap what you sow. Don't give up. God is going to provide a harvest at the right time. So this has been hard stuff. I mean, that it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy for me. And you're probably like, well, you're a pastor, so it's easy for you. It's not, dude. No, it's not. It's hard. But loving God with our strength means pressing on even when we feel like giving up. Even when we feel like giving up. It's not the point. It's easy to press on at the beginning. It's easy to press on when things are going well. When you're running downhill, it's easy to press on. Actually, I don't like running downhill. I like riding a bike because a bike downhill is actually like, all right, I don't have to do anything. Running downhill, like, it's like, yeah, I always feel awkward and stupid. But anyway, keep going. Keep going. Even, you know, you could be that close to the finish line. You could be that close to what God wants to do through you. And you might not be. I can't tell. But when God decides it is best for you, that's where you're going to reap the harvest. So we need to press on even when we feel like giving up. So I just want to do something right now. I've never done this before. We haven't done a lot of things before. But I want to, there are a lot of people that are in this room and in this building and not in this building that work their butts off for the sake of MC3. They do things. They come in early. They deal with things that aren't fun. They work hard. And I just want us, and I want you, us, I want to take a moment and appreciate these people. Because they're pressing on. And I'm sure there's times when they feel like giving up. I'm sure there's moments where it'd be easier to sleep in. And so if you are part of the worship band or anything related to the AV ministry back there, the sound, the computers, would you just stand up for a second? If you're a backup for the worship band, if you've sung with them before, if you play, stand up right now. These people work hard. They come in every week and rehearse for 2 hours, plus practicing on their own outside of that. So why don't we give them a round of applause. Thank them for what they do. Okay, sit down. Now just pay attention to this, right? If you are there, prime groups, we have prime groups that meet throughout the week. And in this room, there are a bunch of people that lead those groups and their wives that lead sometimes too and often end up cleaning up because some of them don't. And then there's a lot of apprentices. Each group has an apprentice to help out and help guide and often at some point lead their own group. So if you are a prime group leader, spouse, or apprentice and spouse, would you please stand up? Yeah. They put a lot of work into that. Okay, I'm going to tell you, that's only the second, you guys can sit down, that's only the second group of people and your applause is getting kind of lame. Okay, so we got a ways to go here because there are a lot of people that are pressing on and working hard. If you work in the nursery with the infants back there, would you please stand up? Now let me tell you something about these people. When we first started building this building, we thought, yeah, sit down, fine, sit down. When we first started building this building, we were like, you know what? I don't know if we really even need a nursery. We don't have that many young kids. There's like 6 billion kids in that room back there. I don't know what's up with you people. I mean, maybe next month you need to not listen so much. Because, you know, when we start, you know how babies, you know how that happens, right? Okay, so maybe next month the nursery is going to double. We'll see. Or maybe 9 months from next month. But these people work hard, and I want you to know, too, that there are some people right now in that nursery. So if you have kids that are in the nursery right now, when you go back to get them, I want you to just overwhelm them with how thankful you are for them. Don't tell them why. I just want them to be like, what the heck? And I want them to walk out of here smiling because they are thrilled that all these people appreciate the hard work that they do. You know, and it's one of the cool things, and I love this about MC3, that everybody wants to be in here. The band does such an incredible job that everything about what we do is so fun that everybody wants to be in here. And you know, it's hard to sometimes not be in here. They have to kind of give up this. They don't get to be with you. They get to spend time with kids that cry and whine and snot. But they're doing that for the sake of what's going on, what God's doing. So make sure you thank the nursery people. If you are a part of an Ignition worker, which means preschool or the older kids or maybe part of the video team that puts that stuff together, if you do anything related to Ignition, would you please stand up right now? How about thanking them? And again, there are people back in that back room now. They're wearing the gray shirts that say Ignition. Thank them. When you pick up your kids, when you drop that card off at the door and go back to get your kids, just have them walk out of there going like, what the heck is going on today? I want them to expect that they owe you something. So if you are part of ATU, which could be just the actual program all tuned up that happens each month here, if you're the part of the video group of that, if you're part of putting the packs together that we sent home, which were awesome this month. They're killer. If you didn't get one, you got to pick it up because you also win tickets to the movies. There's only one left. That's awesome. So you have one left. You can fight over it. But or if you're part of the food team, a lot of you are part of planning and prepping the food. So if you have anything to do with All Tuned Up, would you please stand up? Now, this next group doesn't even know they're going to stand up, and they are going to stand up. You hear me? You people in this room, you are going to stand up. If you have anything to do with Building and Grounds, that might be coordinating it, it might be cleaning, it might be coming in really stinking early and turning on the heat each day, anything like that. If you're connected to the Building and Grounds, to what happens in here throughout the week, when all of us come in and mess everything up, they make it comfortable, perfect, and clean. So would you please stand up? Stand up now. Thank you. Yeah, and there's people that mow, there's people that shovel. Did I miss anybody that mows the lawn here? Anybody? There's some mower people in the summer. Not right now. We don't do that in the winter. So thank you guys. And here's something, right? We started about, I can't do the math, but maybe a year and a half ago at this point, working on this building. Around August, we started with this garage that was a garage and turned it from a garage into a garage where people met. But if you were a part at any phase of the process, whether you threw ran a paintbrush, used the paintbrush, if you did construction, if you built something, if you ripped something down, if you were a part in any way of one of our work days or anything having to do with construction for this building, would you please stand up? Thank you. This is a good place. All right, sit down. Now here's something, and I kind of saved this somewhat for last, but We have some guys here that, as I shared, what I do and how do things matter in light of eternity. Well, we've got some elders that what we do, what they do in leading this church isn't just like, let's make some quick decisions about stuff and have fun meetings because we want to have more meetings. Like, there's some serious prayer and thought and effort that goes into every decision we make, and that's hard. And I know that there's a lot of challenges. I know there's a lot of people that Satan, frankly, that doesn't want them to do the right thing. And so would the elders please stand up? And why don't we thank these guys for their discernment. And pray for them. And pray for everybody. But I would suggest that praying for the elders is a wise thing to do. Because, you know, as much as paint is important, that's probably not going to change your eternal destiny. But the decisions we make definitely affect people. And then if anybody is in here and you have ever let's say one of our fifth Sundays, maybe your prime group, maybe you helped give towards something. If anybody in this room had anything to do with serving anybody related to anything connected to MC3, if you were even invited someone to MC3 or anything like that, if you did anything for anybody, stand up. Wow. And I frankly think that the rest of you had something to do with that too. But don't give up. We need to press on. God is doing stuff. And everything, every one of those groups of people that I shared, there are being attacked. I was going to have to call that team out to take you down. Someone approaching the stage. Yeah. But all of that to say that there's nothing easy about any of that stuff. I mean, and I know it's like, well, all I do is sit with kids. No, you don't. You give parents the opportunity to learn. Well, I just sit in the back and work on videos and sound. Yeah, but you make it sound great so that people can worship. I mean, there's so many things, and I don't want you to miss the fact that God wants us to keep going. That everything that you do for Him, everything of these good things, these right things, they matter. Don't give up. Press on, even when you feel like giving up. So here's the thing. Each week we've been talking about a response. How do we respond to this? And I've talked about spiritual disciplines. And disciplines are things that we do to help us get stronger. You know, we discipline ourselves for diet. I found out 2 weeks ago that I have high cholesterol. And I also found out that I need to do anything different with my diet because it's genetic. So I guess that's a win for me. I don't have to change anything. I just have to go on medication that's eventually going to destroy my liver. So I can either die from a heart attack or no liver. So I don't have to figure that one out. But anyway, we go on a diet sometimes just for the sake of health, for whatever. We sometimes exercise for the sake of our well-being. There's things that we do because they're good for us in the long run. So there's things we talk about. The very first week we talked about the discipline of just spending time with God. Ripped the chair. Sorry about that. I didn't. It's good. and time with God and how it's important to set aside some time with Him, whatever that might look like. And then the second week, we talked about giving and how that's a discipline. That when we give, it shows that we're not as focused on now, but we're thinking about things related to eternity. I mean, financially, like during the offering time, that is a statement of worship towards God. And then last week, we talked about the importance of studying the Bible. And how just we need to crave God's word and desire it and spend time in it. And if it starts with 2 minutes a day, then great. That's better than no minutes a day. And so this week I want to have one more response, kind of a spiritual discipline idea, and that's prayer. And here's the thing, like when it comes to this idea, like it's really weird. I was talking to Brian about this, and I hope I can explain this well. I hope this makes sense to you. But when we get tired and worn out, when we get tired of following God, when we get tired of doing the right thing, the weird thing is, when we get weary, when we get physically worn out, our response to not doing the things that God wants to do is to come up with our own way of doing it. So we're like, God, your way isn't good, so I'm going to add more burden on myself and try to do it my way. That somehow we take things into our own hands because, okay, that's not working. I know God said I should do this, but you know what? My checkbook isn't resolving fast enough. Or, you know, I know I'm supposed to love this person, but it's been easily like 2 days and they have not sent me a loving card from Hallmark and said, thank you so much for being nice to me. Like we take things in our hands, like, hey, God, your way isn't working, so I want to do it my way. And prayer is this idea where we say, okay, when we're wearing out, when we get to that point where we're like, God, I can't do this anymore. God says, okay, good. That's okay. Come to me. I want to help you. God says, you know what, when you're tired, when we're worn out, He knows we're human. He made us. Helps. He says, when you're worn out, don't give up. Don't try to take it and do it your way, because your way isn't going to work. It's coming back to the flesh, the sinful nature. It's just going to reap destruction. He says, come to me. Let's do it my way. And there's this great verse in Philippians chapter 4. It's actually two verses before what we read last week in about whatever is true, lovely, honorable, think about these things. But it's a great verse. Paul is writing in these closing thoughts to this church in Philippi. And he says, do not be anxious about anything. He says, do not be anxious about anything. Don't worry. Do not worry. Do not worry. Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. Do not worry about anything. How many of you guys worry about stuff? Raise your hand right now. You're all sinners. I never worry. No, we are all sinners. And God says, look, don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious about it. And this is a hard thing for me to keep in mind because I am a detail guy. I'm an administrator. I'm a planner. And when things come up that I don't know how to handle, my response is I need to figure it out. I need to figure it out. I need to work it out my way. I need to get my plan. Well, obviously, if this isn't happening the right way and I'm worried about it, then very clearly it has something to do with my leadership ability, or it has something to do with, well, we just need another policy, or, you know, kids, another rule in the house. And he says, don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry. When we feel like we can't go on anymore, don't sweat it. We need to stop worrying. He doesn't say it's okay to worry about some things. He says, don't worry about anything. Anything. Don't worry about anything. Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious about anything. At all. And Francis Chan in Crazy Love had this great quote, and I had it hanging in my office once upon a time. And I just want you to listen to this when it comes to worry. Because we think somehow it's okay to worry. Like, if we're worrying about big things and spiritual things, then it's okay to worry. And he writes in Crazy Love, which, again, I'll post the link again this week. It's an incredible book. If you haven't read it yet, we've got two copies audio to listen to. There's actually a physical copy out there if you want to read it in paper. But read it. It's an incredible book. But he says that worry implies that we don't quite trust that God is big enough, powerful enough, or loving enough to take care of what's happening in our lives. Because that's what worry says. If I'm worried about how this is going to turn out, then God must not be able to handle it. Then God, well, he must not love me as much as he says he does. He must be lying about that. So we get to this idea where I need to please the flesh. I need to do what my flesh says. I need to do it my way. And we leave God out. And so worry implies that. That he can't take care of what's going on. And Paul writes to the church in Philippi, don't worry about anything. Do not be anxious. Anxiety. It floods me. And I don't know if it's because I was teaching this week, but I just felt like, dude, Sean, what are you teaching? That popped into my head like all week. What are you teaching? What are you teaching these people? Because it seems to me, Sean, me talking to myself, I'm not insane, that Sean, you're worrying, you're anxious about things that you need to bring to God. He says, do not be anxious. And he goes on, he says, worry implies we don't trust God is big enough, powerful enough, or loving enough to take care of what's happening in our lives. And then he says, stress says that the things that we are involved in are important enough to merit our impatience, our lack of grace towards others, and our tight grip of control. See, often with worry comes stress. And stress says, well, it's a big deal, so it's okay if I'm mean to my family because I'm stressed about the church. It's okay if I just completely shut someone down in a rude, awful way because, hey, what they're saying isn't very polite anyway. There's a lot on my mind. You don't understand the day I had, so shut up! And that's what stress says. That's this idea of worry and anxiety. And Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. And that's easy, right? Like, okay, don't be anxious about anything. Thanks. I'll work on that one. It's like telling your kids when they're in the car, you know, I gotta go pee. Well, just hold it. Eventually that doesn't work, okay? I mean, eventually you can't just hold it. It's the same thing. Don't be anxious. If that's all he said, then we'd be like, okay, thanks. Appreciate that. But he goes on and says, but in every situation, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, not just the biggies, not just the little ones that are easy. In every situation, by prayer and petition just means asking, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. He says, don't be anxious. Don't worry about anything. But in every situation, when you feel like, God, I can't do this anymore. It's hard. I'm tired. I'm done. Paul says, don't worry about it. Go to God and say, God, I need your strength. I need your help. please, please, God, please, please, God, give me what I need. And that might mean that God's going to give you enough for that next day, and you find yourself the following day on your knees again saying, God, I don't know if I have the strength. I can't do this. He says, stop worrying. Don't worry about how it's all going to work out. Don't worry about how those things are always going to turn out, how that person's going to be, how are they going to respond? What's going to happen to my future? What about my portfolio? I don't even know what that is, but it sounds fancy. He says, don't be anxious, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, come before God and present your request to God with thanksgiving. And that's kind of a crazy thing in there, too. Do we ever thank God that things don't go the way we want them to? Do we ever thank God that He's waiting on at just the right moment, at just the right time? And that's not our timing? Because I think a lot of times, dude, if I got my way, everything that is right here would never be. Because years ago, there were some things that I wanted my way on my timing. And God didn't do that. He had something bigger going on. He had some stirring happening. He was working in people's lives and said, no, Sean, dude, don't give up. Stay at your job for 10 years as a youth pastor. That's not just like impressive. That's like off the charts. Like the average youth pastor job was like 10 months or something like that nationally. 10 years. Because God was doing something. And it's easy. It's easy for us to give up and be anxious. And he says, and I want to say, God, and when we look at our situations, do we thank God and say, thank you, God. Thank you right now that this is hard. Thank you, God, that I need to rely on you and not on me. I mean, Michelle's not in here, and Justin's our treasurer. Michelle manages the books. But there are some advantages to have to trust God every week for how we're going to cover all of our expenses. Because it means we have to trust God. It's easy if we've got all the money in the bank to be able to not need Him. But if we come to God every week and say, God, I don't know. God, you need to come through. If you don't come through, it's not going to work out. And Kendra and I were talking about this, but it's crazy in our own lives. Like, we have seen God come through so much that honestly, when it comes to money, and I'm not kidding you, in our personal life, we don't worry about money. Like, He has come through so many crazy ways, crazy times where we're like, wow, that bill was $100 more than we ever expected. And honestly, someone comes in and says, here's a card for $100. What? Like, I'm not kidding you. That God keeps coming through. And so we've gotten to the point where we don't worry about it. God, you're going to work it out. And in your lives, there might be things where you're like, I don't know. I'm doing the right thing, but the right thing doesn't seem to be working. He says, come to Him. Don't worry about it. Trust God. Because at the right time, when God feels it's just right, you're going to reap a harvest. There is going to be a reward. There is going to be something that God has planned for you if you don't give up. So when we get to this point, when we feel like we can't do it anymore, He says, don't worry about it. Don't be anxious. In every situation, present your request to God. And that's thank you. Thank you, Paul, for giving us an answer. Don't worry. And here's how we don't worry. We pray about it. We don't wait till later. You don't have to wait till church time. Praying just simply means talking to God. And it doesn't have to be pretty. You don't have to suddenly become King Jamesian. My grandmother, I love her. She loved Jesus. When she would pray, she suddenly became like we were living in England. And Lord, we beseech thine brethren. And, oh, dude, can I have a coffee? Okay, but I'm praying again. Like, she didn't say dude, but she would never say dude. But you know what I'm saying? It's just talking to God. And it can be raw and gritty. And that's this idea of prayer and petition is just talk to God and come before Him. But then he goes on, the best part of that, he says, do not be anxious, pray. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. He says, if we take the time to come before God, saying, God, I have no idea how this is going to work out. God, I'm worn out. God, I'm done. God, I don't want to do this. And you can be real with God. God, I don't want to do what you want to do. bring it before God, and it says, in the peace of God. And I love this part, which transcends all understanding. People are going to look at you sometimes, if you're doing what God wants you to do, and they're going to say, how in the world can you be joyful right now? How in the world can you do this? You should quit. You should give it up. Why are you doing that thing? Well, God has told me to do it. Yeah, well, God hasn't worked it out for you very well. Look at how things are. And that's where this peace of God comes in. Where we say, hey, this is what God wants, and I can't answer why I can trust him. But he's working it out. I can't give it to you on paper. It doesn't make sense. But I know that God has called me to do this. I know God has told me not to give up. And when I feel like giving up, I can go to him in prayer and say, God, help me. Dear God, please. I need you to come through. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, which goes beyond anything we could get, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So, you feel like giving up. You feel like it doesn't matter. You feel like, I don't want to go that far. Loving God with our strength means pressing on, even when we feel like giving up. It means giving him our strength, our everything, till we're spent. And if you're spent when it comes to following Jesus, then go to him and say, help. The unfortunate thing is that, and this isn't really where I'm going necessarily, but you know, a lot of times we do spend time living for our flesh and our desires and what we want. And then God gets the leftover, and then we run out of time for God. We run out of energy for doing what God wants to do. And we're like, oh, well, God, why don't I have the strength to do this? Well, because you were sowing to please the flesh. And now you're reaping the result of it. Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. That's what he wants us to do. That's what he's called us to do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you have, in one sense, made it simple. But there's only one thing we need to do, is to love you with everything we've got. To love you with everything that we've got. And sometimes it's very hard. Sometimes we get in the midst of situations, frankly, that we come upon because we do what you tell us to do and things get worse. I just pray that you would give us the strength to press on, knowing that when you see it's right, and dude, and God, that might be tomorrow, and it might be a decade from now, but that you would help us to press on, to keep doing what you've called us to do when it comes to loving you with our heart and our soul and our mind, making the choices that are difficult, doing the things that are hard, giving up things that we want to keep, restoring relationships that we'd rather ignore. I pray that you would give us the strength to do that. And I thank you that we're not alone in this. That God, you have told us that we're not to be worrying. We're not to be anxious. But in everything to come before you in prayer. And I thank you that it's just you and us. That there's no barrier, there's no one we need to talk through, that we can have direct access to the God of the universe, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one that created everything around us. And you want to hear us speak to you, and you care about us, and you love us, and you want us to serve you. You want us to do these hard things because you know that it's in our best interest. So I pray that you would help us to do that. MC3, I'm sure this month God has been speaking to you. That there's things that you need to change, there's things you need to do, there's things maybe you have started to do, and they're hard. I just want to give you just a couple minutes right now. I know we're going to get out of here and things are going to be fun and crazy and you're going to go home and watch the Pro Bowl. But right now in this moment, would you just come before God? Place your anxiety before Him. What are the things? What is it that He has told you to do this month? What is the Spirit telling you to do? And you need to do that. Because when you do that, you're going to reap an eternal reward. So take a moment, just a few moments right now, in silence to come before God. Is there something you're worried about? Is there something you need to deal with Him? Do that, and then I'll say amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit living in us, give us the strength to do what we have just prayed about. In Jesus' name, amen.